Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the idea of community engagement and witness, and we've been thinking about the idea of worldview and how we communicate the worldview of the gospel to people who hold another worldview. And we've talked specifically about the worldview of the suburbs. We've talked about some of the values that are held and talked about the ways that we can contextualize or communicate the gospel worldview in a way that is, I suppose, culturally appropriate, if you like. This term, all of the small groups have been looking at this really great material that's come from a guy named Mark Green. It's called Fruitfulness on the Frontline. If your small group hasn't picked it up, but you'd like to, come let me know. We've got plenty of material for you. And the idea of this study is that it's thinking about, well, Mark Green talks about this idea that he feels as though we as followers of God want to measure our fruitfulness, which is the word that he uses, or another way we could say it is maybe our effectiveness as Christians, in terms of how often we're sharing the gospel message. But he wants to say to us that actually, when we look at the Bible, there are lots of different ways that people are communicating the value of the gospel to others, and saying it in words is one of the ways that he talks about. But he has five other things that he wants to share with us. It's things like cultivating godly character, changing the culture around us, producing quality work, advocating for truth and justice, and showing the grace and love of Jesus. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that we see there that we can be fruitful or effective in our Christian lives. Certainly sharing the gospel is one of those things, but there are five other things that Green wants us to think about. And so far we've been talking about these ideas, this idea of worldview as well, in kind of an abstract sort of way, and I'm hoping this morning that we can land it in a very real way, that each of us can go away this morning and see that there's a whole plethora of ways that we can be engaging with people in our lives that don't know Christ, and that there's no prescribed way for us to do that, that there are a whole bunch of different ways, in that all of us are very different people. There's a whole bunch of different ways that we can be effective in the work of the ministry of reconciliation that God has given us. And so I've invited three mums from the congregation this morning to share with you, to reflect on a different one of those six M's that Green talks about. And so Dorothy Byrne is going to share with us about the idea of godly character, cultivating her own godly character, and kind of how that intersects for her in terms of being a mum and the idea of community witness. After Dorothy is Alicia Garner. She's going to share with us on the topic of showing the grace and the love of Jesus. And then finally, Deb Redford's going to talk to us or reflect with us on the idea of changing culture. So I'm just going to turn it over to them. So Dorothy, please welcome Dorothy to the stage.
Good morning. Well, first of all, happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. I hope you have a very happy day, whether you're a mum or whether you're a grandma like me. My name is Dorothy, and I'm a mother of two beautiful daughters and one grandson and one granddaughter, and we love them very much. As I was thinking about living a godly life as a woman, and so I'm sorry, fellas, I'm talking more about women, I looked at first the Old Testament, and we have lots of examples there. We have Ruth, we have the book of Ruth, we have Hannah, we have Esther, and all these women were very godly women. And then we go on to the New Testament, and you have Mary, the mother of Jesus, you have Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, Mary Magdalene, Timothy's mother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. Again, all women who loved the Lord and followed him. More up to date, and probably more women that you might be a bit more familiar with, are Corrie ten Boom, who again showed a very godly life. She was a wonderful Dutch lady who was put in prison for trying to help people who were suffering from the oppression of the Nazis. Johnny Erickson, again, a girl in her very early teens who was actually had an accident, a swimming accident. She became paraplegic. And now, instead of blaming God for what happened to her, she's now praising God and saying what a blessing it's been in her life. Mother Teresa, again, another very godly woman. who again cared for the sick, and her main purpose when she was caring for them was to show them the love of Jesus. And lastly, another one I thought of was John Wesley's mother, who had many, many children. I think she had 19 in total. And to get time to spend with the Lord, she used to tell them that when they saw her sitting in her kitchen with her apron over her head, she was not to be disturbed. That was when she was talking to the Lord. All these women are very good examples of women living a godly life. They all showed their devotion to the Lord in the way that they conducted their lives. And I would say that they all lived out the words outlined in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. My definition, really, of a godly person is someone who puts God first in their life. Someone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and knows the peace and joy of having their sins forgiven. And this is then evident in the way they live. It's not always by being vocal and talking to people that we show that we belong to the Lord. Quite often, it's quite the reverse. It's just the way that we live, the way that we conduct ourselves. In London, there's a street which is called Godly Man Street. And that was just named that way because the man who lived there was a very godly man, not by what he said, but the way that he lived. On a personal note, I'd like to tell you just a little bit of my parents, who were very godly parents. My father was a very quiet man. He never said very much, but he was a really godly man in the way that he lived. I was born into a Christian home, obviously, and each morning before we went to school, my sister and I had to read a portion of the Bible, and then we were all prayed together. When we grew up, we both got married. My sister married a lovely fellow called Colin, but Colin wasn't a Christian. But my mother and father loved him, they prayed for him, and they just treated him as one of the family. He used to come to church with us, so he did hear the gospel. However, many years after my parents had gone to the Lord, Colin was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And he said to my sister, "I want what your parents had. I want the peace that they had." And she was able to point him to a minister and talk to him herself. And I'm glad to say that in those last 6 months of his life, Colin knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But the reason that he came to the Lord because was the godly influence that he saw in my parents' life. They never preached at him. They never talked to him about things in depth, but they were always very kind and very loving towards him and showed that they were godly people. None of us are perfect, least of all me. But we can all strive with the Lord's help to be people who show to the world that we love and honour the Lord in our way of life. By the way, we talk and react when times are good and when times are tough. We have a wonderful resource in prayer. And when situations seem difficult and we don't know what to do, prayer is the only answer. And as a mother and a grandmother and a friend, I pray, Ted and I together, for people each morning in our family and friends. In closing, I'd like to read this quote that I found from Mother Teresa. "Prayer is not asking. Prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God, at his disposition and listening to his voice in the depths of our hearts. And in striving to show the fruits of the Spirit," Galatians 5, verse 22, "love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in so doing, others will see Christ in us."
Thanks so much, Dorothy. Alicia. Oh, there you are.
Good morning, everyone. So this is probably going to sound really strange, but I don't know if anyone's seen those new fidget spinners. Yeah? So they're really cool, but I mean, you hold them, anyone that hasn't seen them, you hold onto them between your middle fingers, and the propellers go around and round. So they don't change, and with absolute certainty, you can predict that cycle. Well, parenting's nothing like that. Although it can feel like you're repeating the same actions, uttering the same words, and dealing with the same problems, whether progressively or rapidly, your child does change, and so as a parent, you change with them. In my experience, the most obvious example of this change is when I went from carrying Chloe in my womb to holding her in my arms. I know it sounds completely cliche, but when I first felt her breath on my cheek and her hair like a soft suggestion underneath my fingers, I was both totally enraptured by how precious she was and is, and all of my children are to me. And how overwhelmed I was by the realisation that these little people are completely dependent on my care. But neither of these feelings have changed, but in certain times they seem to proliferate. So since I'm being completely honest, when I sat down to write this on Wednesday, I sat there for I don't know how long looking at the cursor blip, which is quite unsettling. It felt odd to me that I could have anything valuable to say, particularly because most of the time I feel so uncertain about my abilities as a mother, and that is the only thing about my parenting that actually remains constant. Not only that, but behind me, all three of my children had crashed out on the couch and I had wet towels strewn across the floor because at my house, 6 o'clock does not resemble happy hour. It's a battle of the wills to get all three children bath, dressed and fed something other than the popcorn they'd had on the way home. For me, night times are the most difficult, when all of the kids are asleep and I'm left to reflect on all the things that I didn't get quite right. And sometimes I lay there in bed and I think about how second-rate my parenting can be. And after those days where you wake up, then the last thing you want to do is put on a smile and continue to act out the same script. And when my children just don't want to do what they're told and fight me every step of the way, it's exhausting, but more than that, it's actually really frustrating because in my mind and in my heart, I have the best intentions for them. However, it makes no difference because sometimes my voice seems to be a pitch too high for them to hear, and my intentions don't necessarily translate into my actions or the consequences of those actions. And it can become so overwhelming that it's easy for me to lose my temper or say something awful in the heat of the moment. And those moments seem to be most prominent at night when my kids are asleep and the clamorous voices are replaced by the faint hum of the heater. And I sit and I pray and I ask for God that tomorrow I'll do things differently or change the way that I'd approach the situation that day. I pray for the patience I need to guide my three children because I know I'm a flawed mentor and I can't do it on my own. I tell him how much I'm struggling and he listens. Unlike my children, and I'm really ashamed to say it, but unlike myself sometimes, if I'm totally honest, it is only in my most desperate times when I completely let Jesus take the helm. When I feel like I'm doing okay, I get this conceited idea that I can navigate on my own path. And in essence, I get very selective to what he tries to tell me, and I fail to remember that he has my and my children's best interests at heart. However, this is where we differ because he doesn't get frustrated or lock himself in the room, and yes, I really have done that before. But he seems to understand that both days, both as a person and as a mother, I'm flying blind, and in that respect and in a myriad of others, I value him being there for me and I value his grace because motherhood is never simple, decipherable, predictable or measurable. For me, being a mother's mum has been my most monumental role. I remember looking down at Chloe as a newborn and promising her that I would be the type of mother that I envisioned myself being when she was inside of me. And on that count, I've failed many times. So I take heart in remembering that my children are not just my children, but God's children. And in that sense, I know how fiercely I love them, and I know he loves them more. And this gives me solace because his love doesn't know the bounds of inadequacy or fatigue. And although as a mother and as a parent, there is no certainties, I find comfort knowing that he's walking alongside us, giving us the strength to slog it out for another day and my children to prosper in spite of my shortcomings. But also he gives me the perspective to recognise that although motherhood is one hard gig, it's such a privilege to love and be loved. I'm so proud to be the mother of my three children, and I'm privileged to call them my children. And although I'm sure that we will always challenge the boundaries of that love. As what my children are and what I needed to be as their mother constantly expands and relocates, my heart finds rest that Jesus is there to counsel us through the turbulence and love us all beyond our comprehension.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Alicia. It's brought back lots of memories. My name is Deb, and we have three adult children, two daughters, 34 and 33, and our son is 31. Grandmother of two, 6-year-old Archer and nearly 3-year-old Nina, and a new grandchild that is in process of being delivered probably right now. It's very exciting. I suppose it started in the beginning from my mother's example, and the older I get, I think I feel more privileged that I had such a good upbringing and a great mother's example. No one has the rule book on parenting, as we've just heard, and we're all going to make mistakes, and I've made my fair share of them. So I want to talk just briefly a little bit about motherhood in whatever culture you are in. And when our children were young, the environment and the culture was playgroup, and it was Sunday school, and it was church activities, and then, of course, it was kindergarten and school. And I tried to be as involved in those areas as I possibly could. I was on school council and started running a playgroup, instigated prayer group at both Mentone Grammar and Mentone Girls Secondary whilst our children were there. So a knowledge of and love of God was extremely important to us as a family, and we modelled that as best that we could. As our children grew into teenagers, the culture changed, and teenage and early adulthood brought a lot of changes to our household and our lives with their fair share of difficulties. Ones that I don't have time to share today, but God sustained both Craig and I through some pretty tough years. Over the last 20 years, my role as a mother has changed a lot, and God has called me into challenges and cultures of another kind. Many of you will know that I worked within the prison system for over 13 years, and I was working with a lot of women without good role models. Motherhood was invaluable in that culture. As mothers tend to nurture and care and love, and sadly many women I met in prison did not grow up with the childhood that I had. The vast culture was different and one that I had to adapt to. And we need to understand that the culture that we are in, but we don't have to blend into it as such, but we need to stand out for our differences and not to be ashamed of them. And be yourself, no matter how different that might be from others around you, is something that I learned pretty quickly. It's okay to be yourself. Don't try to be anyone different. Your presence somewhere will speak volumes as a mother. I became a mother figure to some of the women, and God arranged it that the three women that I had the most to do with were women in need of a mother. Balancing care of my own family with caring for damaged and hurting women was very hard, and I believe my kids felt that they took second place for a time. I learnt that if I could listen to the mistakes and bad choices of others and offer them God's love and forgiveness, then I need to make sure that I see my own children's mistakes and choices in the same light. At present, God has called me into another culture, and that's women's football. Again, a long way away from what I'm used to. I love football, but the culture is not known to be a good one. As chaplain to a women's football club made up of more than 80 women, including management, I'm feeling at a bit of a loss in that I go to their training sessions that I go and watch every week. I stand on the fence watching them train in the cold. I'm glad that I'm not them. And then I go home. And there's not a lot of opportunity for conversation or for dialogue, which is very different to what I've done before. I've used to been in a lot of dialogue. I went to their first practice matches a few weeks ago, and throughout the day found myself helping in the canteen and offering to cook the sausages. I didn't get to see much football, but the effect that that had on my credibility with the club was enormous. Suddenly, the women started saying hi and acknowledging me. Why? Because I was fitting into the culture that everyone puts in and helps out, and volunteering to do things is highly prized. Also, that's what mums do. They help out where they're needed and they know what it's like to give. Motherhood again comes to the forefront at football, as I would be the age of most of their mums. Swearing and bad language is commonplace in both a prison and in the footy world, but it's not commonplace for me. That stands out for the fact that I don't speak like they do. They are cultures that are shaped by very different values. I've sometimes had regrets that I didn't listen to my kids as well as I should have, or didn't spend enough time just being with them. But thankfully, with grandchildren, you get a second chance at it. And I feel like being a mum was just practice. and now being a grandmother is precious and valuable, and teaching them about God is something that I value. I've started to teach little Nina, Jesus loves me, this I know. And she really is getting into it. And we were leaving for school to pick up little Archer the other day, and I could hear her singing it. And we start to sing, He has the whole world in His hands, and she loves it when I always include her in that. In the book that Andy was talking about, Fruitfulness on the Frontline, Making a Difference Where You Are, the section on moulding culture resonated with me, and it says, the primary shapers of any culture should be first a total commitment to loving God, and second, a total commitment to loving people created in God's image. Ultimately, our ways of doing things in our culture are either positive or negative. Create ways of doing things that help people flourish.
Thanks, guys. That's three phenomenal reflections on what it means to be a mum and to be a follower of God. And I hope you're encouraged. I was really encouraged by the variety of ways that that each of our speakers talked about being able to connect with others, being able to connect with their kids, understanding that all of us make mistakes, that none of us have got anything figured out perfectly. And I was reminded there's a passage in Scripture in Matthew, toward the end, and Jesus is looking out over Jerusalem, and he says that he feels like a mother hen, and he wants to gather all of Jerusalem under his wings and protect them, but they don't want to come with him. And I think as someone who is obviously not a mother, but a follower of God, I can see how God has a caring, well, Jesus says, mothering element to him in that he does want to care for us, to protect us, and sometimes we are unwilling to follow that protection. Sometimes we'll be stubborn, we'll be arrogant. And so I want to encourage you this morning to embrace the offer of grace that Jesus has for us. And I hope that these three reflections encourage you to go out into your week and to carry yourself well, to work hard, to change the culture around you. All these different things that we can do that show that we are children of God and followers of Christ. I want to pray for us now, and then we'll carry on with the service. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are a good God and that you love us. We're so grateful that you've called us into relationship with you. And I pray that, God, we would be examples of godly character to the people in our lives, that, God, we would put you first, and that we would conduct ourselves in love and kindness as a witness to you, your character, and the work that you've done in our lives. I pray, God, that you would continue to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit in our faith community in each of our lives. We thank you, God, for the gift of parenting, that parenthood is a challenge and that it's unpredictable. But in it, we can see the grace and love of Christ, of you, modeled through us. We thank you, God, that in your grace you make up for our inadequacy, not only as parents, but as followers of you in every aspect of our lives. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you empower us for the work of reconciliation in the world. And God, we're grateful too that you have, within this ministry, you've given us the ability to change the world around us, to change the culture that we find ourselves in. Thank you, God, that our presence or your presence in us is transformative, and that we wherever we go, we carry the Holy Spirit with us, and we carry the knowledge of the grace of Christ and what he has done to ensure the reconciliation of the world into our workplaces, our schools, our unis, our kids' playgroups, wherever we might find ourselves. I pray that, God, as a community, we would be marked for our ability to show the grace and love of Christ to all people without reserve. I pray that we would be built more and more into the model of Christ that you have given us in your time on earth. So, God, we commit ourselves to you. We ask for your blessing and pray for our mums today. We thank you for them and ask that you would bless them in the name of Christ. Amen.